desire and interest in your prayers this evening. I'd like to very briefly recap something we said last Sunday morning, or the subject just a little bit. Last Sunday morning, with our burden was for us maybe to have a better understanding of what the Bible says about, the subject that I tried to talk about was empowering. And one statement I made was I feel like that Christianity empowers women more than anything else. Countries and cultures that do not recognize Christianity, many times there's a great injustice and inequality between men and women. And one of my burdens to share was that I believe the scripture teaches that we women should be empowered, and we want our children to be empowered. We want our children to become peers someday. My children are old enough that I'm real thankful that I'm not looking out in the future and thinking that I'm going to have to support all of them for the rest of their lives. You know, I'm real happy that they're able and capable and willing to work and provide. And I want them to be empowered to bring their input, their ideas to the table. Long as they're still living at home, I want them to be able to enter into a discussion. I don't want to have to tell them every move that they make. I want them to be empowered to be self-sustaining adults. When something is empowered, I want us to think about what the end result of that is. If something is empowered, that means that it's has power from within, right? Okay, that's what the word means. It's something that means there's power over there. There's authority, maybe we can say, in that other entity other than just what I can give it. And isn't that a good thing when, as individuals, we are empowered to be contributors? Think of the verse in the New Testament it's talking about us entering into marriage with someone that's an unbeliever, and he talks about not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But the design of a yoke is that there would be two, at least, that would work together. One of them having power and the other one having power. You know, if you yoke one animal that's live and healthy to a dead one, just so you can say you've got a yoke of oxen or something, that'd be a hindrance instead of a help, right? So you want, in a marriage in particular, that's what the scripture is talking about, you want them both to be empowered and then working together for the common cause. The common cause is the load that's behind you when you're a team of oxen. But the common cause in a home is the family structure, the children that come along, the financial obligations doesn't necessarily mean that both of them have to have a paycheck. In fact, I feel like that's a demise of our society, is to have both spouses working, especially when the children are small. But the whole idea is that they're working together. Don't want to get too far off track here, but I worked with a man one time that did all of the grocery shopping. And I don't know if there's any husbands here that do that, but it's just, I thought, what a bondage. Anita and I hadn't been married very long at all, and it was like, what would I go buy? I mean, it's a strange place to go anyway, the grocery store for me. And then when I'm in, what would I pick up? I'm so glad that my wife is empowered to buy the groceries that she feels that we need. But here's what happens just in that instance. When someone is empowered to do something, that means there's authority that goes with that. All right? When there's authority that is goes with that, and especially when we have empowered someone else, then many times we are either blessed or suffering because of their decisions. Okay? So I want us to think about the end result of empowering one another in our marriage relationship, empowering one another, or our children. Like I said, I want them to be empowered, not too soon. I don't want, when my children were small, I didn't want them to be empowered with the ability of making decisions that were immature. So I didn't empower them. I told them, no, you know, I'm the one, I'm the daddy. I'm going to make this choice for you. But there came a time that I had to say, you know, that's up to you. You know, if you want to be seen out in public wearing that, then okay, that's your decision. You know, I wouldn't want to be wearing that, whatever this, the colors together, or, you know, I'd want to, whatever, comb my hair or something, you know. There was a time when I'd say, stop, you know, I want to comb your hair before we go out where people see you. But, you know, there came a time, it's like, hey, you want to go out with your hair standing up on one side? That's up to you. You're empowered to do that. But it also, I'm stuck with the end result. You know, if they, I can remember, if they go to the bar, if the boys go to the barber shop and they get a haircut that's kind of, you know, well, I wouldn't have cut that much off, or, you know, I wouldn't have done, I empowered it. So that's their decision. I end up being partaker of that. That's an end result. Are you following? Hope you're following along with my thought here. So just as our spouses and our children are empowered, you know, there's another element in our lives that's very real, and that is that God has empowered us with the ability to choose too. And he, you know, in 2 Peter 3, I believe it is, he says it's not, let me go over there and read that. I think it's 2 Peter 3 and maybe 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not the Lord's will. It's not that it's his plan. You know, when you empower someone else with your bank account. I don't know if anybody here has ever put somebody else's name on your checking account and then give them some blank checks. But you know, that's really empowering someone. And if you give some, if you take somebody to the bank and say, okay, now this person here is, I want them to have the ability to write checks to pay my bills, you know, if I can't, on with my money, with my checking account. And you, I want him put on, oh, him or her, I want them put on my account. And they probably have to sign some paperwork and all of that. And maybe you hand them a box of blank checks. Well, you know, if they go out there and write a bunch of checks and spend your money, or maybe you give them a debit card. I guess that'd be more up to date, wouldn't it? You give them a debit card and all of a sudden there's money disappearing out of your account. That's going to be a real impact. But we've empowered them with that, right? So their decisions are going to impact us. And the Lord here says through Peter, Peter in his epistle says that God is not willing, Jesus is not willing that any should perish. But he's given us the ability, he's empowered us. How does this happen? I don't understand all the technicalities. I know what it's like to be in that transition stage with my children. And okay, do I let them make this choice, or do I tell them you got to do this? Or do I tell them you can make a choice, whatever you want to, but you realize there's some consequences? You know, boys, I don't know if I've said this lately, but if you decide to dye your hair purple, you know, there's some consequences. You know, you want to cut it all off? That's one thing. If you shave it, I don't know, boy, that's really getting on thin ice. And if you dye it purple or green or something like that, you know, there might be some consequences. You know, it's your power to do that, but if you come home with purple hair, maybe it's time that you find another place to live. You know, reality has to set in here. Although I'm empowering you, you have this ability now, and it's going to impact me, but there's a point that your decision is going to cause some consequences. And so I know what it's like to say, not just on that situation, but I know what it's like to say, as long as you live here, here's some basic requirements. You got to stay between this boundary and this boundary over here. Okay? As long as you live here. You're welcome to live here. I want you to choose to live here, but here's some extremities that your limitations are. Okay? You know, the Lord somehow has done that with us. He said, you know, it's not my, I don't want any of you to go to hell. You know, there is not a person in this world. I appreciate the prayer request earlier about us trying to reach all that we can. And we should. The Lord does not want anyone to end up in a place of torment. He doesn't want anyone here tonight, but obviously, as we said this morning, all of you that are here tonight are here because you chose to come, because you wanted to be here. We want others to want that. But how do we put the want to in them? We can't. Somehow they have to see something that's fascinating, they have to have a desire for themselves. But the Lord has said, I don't want them to perish. It's not my will that they perish, but here's some boundaries. We got to be between the lines, so to speak. I don't know, has anyone here ever been stopped by the, what do you call it, the highway patrol or the city police or anything? You know, I've been stopped a couple times in my life because I wasn't staying between the lines. Not recently, but I've been stopped. And you know, one of the things, I remember one time I was driving and I was very sleepy. And it's good that he stopped me because it was dangerous. I was so sleepy. It was dangerous. And I was driving. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and I was in the Dallas metro area. And I was in one of those places where there's about 3 or 4 lanes going each direction. And I guess I was using all of the lanes. You know, I was just kind of migrating back and forth. And all of a sudden, you know, in my rearview mirror, these lights were coming on. And this fella stopped me. And you know what kind of test he done for me? He was testing me to see if I was inebriated. He wanted to see if I was drunk. And when you know, it's pretty bad when you're sleepy to try to count backwards, you know, start at 27 and count down to 19 backwards, or say your alphabet from T down to M or something backwards. You know, you got to be really thinking to do stuff like that. And it's pretty tough when you're sleepy. I don't know what it'd be like when you was drunk, but there were some boundaries and I was going outside of the boundaries. You know, I could drive in any one of those lanes I wanted to because I was pretty much by myself except the fellow that stopped me. And I could have turned my signal on and changed lanes and it would have been fine. But I wasn't signaling. I was just going across the lines. And you know, I didn't get a ticket. I was very thankful. He gave me a wake-up call. And I found a place that I could spend the night and I survived. And I'm thankful for that. You know, tonight, the Lord would like for those that He has empowered with the ability to make, He'd like for them to have a wake-up call. He'd like to see the lights in the rearview mirror. He'd like to give them a sobriety test. Is this really what you want to do? You know, you're going outside of the boundary line, so to speak, in your life. The Lord really wants to get a hold of souls. But I'm thankful that He's empowered us. I am so grateful that I have a right. And it's one of the things our nation, sometimes it gets a little bit out of balance. But I'm thankful for the rights that we have. I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful that if I don't agree with the views of public opinion, that I don't jeopardize my freedom. You know, there's some countries that you do. If you don't agree with the consensus of the political party in power, you could jeopardize your freedom. If you choose to pledge allegiance to God instead of the ruler, you could end up incarcerated. But that's not the way it is in the United States, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful God has given me that power to choose. But you know, God doesn't enjoy people making bad decisions. Just like we don't enjoy those that, when we're in a position to empower someone else, we don't enjoy seeing them make a bad decision. I'd like to go to the book of Joshua, I believe it is. Read a very familiar text to us. And I want us to think about Joshua here and the situation he was in. And, you know, I believe Joshua was looking around. This is towards the end of his life, end of his career in being the leader for the Israelite nation. And he was looking around and seeing the demise of people's integrity with God. And I really appreciate the way Joshua went about this. He could have been very confrontational. And he could have, you might say, coerced or tried to force these people to make a decision without being fully informed. You know, one of the most discouraging situations I've ever been in, or things that I feel so much pressure, is somebody that wants me to make a decision and I'm not fully informed. You know, well, what do you think we ought to do? Well, I don't know. I don't have enough information. Well, come on, I need an answer. You know, we need an answer now. Or it's like, hold on just a minute. This is not going good at all. And Joshua didn't do that. We could read the chapter before this and find out it sounds like Joshua was preaching to them. You know, in the first verse of the 23rd chapter, one phrase says, Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. So he knew he was coming to the end. And he got the people together and he began to recount how God had chosen this people, had blessed this people, how he had led them and guided them, been there for them, delivered them in times of distress, come to the rescue over and over again. So he set the scene and gave them all the information that he possibly could. And then we have these verses where he began to say there's some boundary lines. He says in the 14th verse of the 24th chapter, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. So he says, you are being empowered today to make a choice. It's your will. It's your decision. You know, boys, it's your decision. You want to paint your hair purple? It's up to you. But there's something that's going to happen if you come home with purple hair. Everybody knows the rules now. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Those were idolatrous worship practices. Those are something, you know, your ancestors that lived on the other side of the flood, what does that mean? There's only one man in his family that survived. There was many of them that didn't serve God. And there was a boundary line because they chose not to serve the Lord that some severe consequences came. And they had the Amorites, some of the ites of the land that lived around them, they didn't serve God, the true God either. And there was consequences that came from that. So he says, it's in your court. The ball's on your side. You do whatever you want to do with that ball. You want to put a pitcher on the a batter up to bat that will bunt the ball. One that is a home run hitter, or one that's a base hitter. You know, I don't know much about baseball, but I know that they choose sometimes the one going up to bat has a reputation for the type of hit they're going to make. You know, it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? The ball is coming at you and you're going to have to do something with it. You could strike out. Maybe you could foul. But he says it's coming your way. What are you going to do with it? You can choose to serve those other gods. You see the end result. There's many that perished in the flood. The Amorites are living a wicked life. You don't really want the way they live. He says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, Joshua was making a decision for himself and also for his household. You know, I make decisions for myself and I make decisions for my household. You might let your children come home with purple hair, but not at my house. You might let your children do something that I wouldn't. But we make decisions for our household. And there comes a time, even though I have endeavored to empower my children, to empower my wife with what power I have, there's a time that they're going to have to make decisions that's entirely independent of me. Entirely independent. It's their will. It's what their soul is, something they have to make a decision about. I hope that my children, I've been able to instill something in them back when I could tell them, nah, you're not doing that. I hope I've been able to instill something in them so when it came time for them to make their own decision about their soul, they made a good one. Doesn't guarantee me that they will. I don't have some kind of warranty. There's no warranty that comes with children, by the way. You know, it'd be nice if you did have. And you could go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I've done everything that I could have and they didn't turn out right. It's time for it's time for a replacement. It's time for something to be done, some repair work to be done. But it don't work that way. The Lord has empowered all of, first off, He entrusts the parents with the children to do the best that they can. But He entrusts every one of us, empowers every one of us with a will to choose. And sometimes, even under the very best circumstances, people make choices that's not good. And Joshua here, I believe he done the very best he could to be a good leader, to explain things, to lay out the whole picture. I didn't take the time to read it all. I'd encourage you to read the 23rd and the 24th chapter of Joshua just to see what he told them. But he done the very best he could to lay it out. And he said, now it's, you know, I'm not going to be here to supervise you and micro, you know, there's going to be a day that I'm not there for my children. All of us. And, you know, the decisions that they make are going to be very apparent to others at that point. And he says here, today, choose you whom you're going to serve. And you know, the people answered him and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Well, we don't have any intentions. You know, a lot of times our children don't have any intentions of getting in trouble in their life. But we've told them, you know, it's your decision. But, you know, there's some dangers in that direction. Be careful about going that way. Well, that's what I want to do. Okay. Well, I won't do whatever it is that you're worried about, Dad or Mom. I just won't do that. Okay. I know what you're saying, but be careful. You know, I know what's down that road. The 31st verse of this chapter says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Joshua didn't know a day. When he passed away, they were still serving the Lord. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Do you know, there's something about having some of the old timers around. That kind of steady the boat sometimes. Kind of keep things stabilized. But here's the way this works. Just as we empower our children and they make, somewhere along the line they start making more and more decisions for themselves, God has empowered us to choose and we start making the choices. And it's not, Peter said, 2 Peter, it's not His will that any man should perish. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want our children to perish. None of them. And it's His design that we would all be saved. And we would all live sincere lives before the Lord. That's His design. But as we move along in life, He gives that our ability for us to choose. And you know, it's not like God expects when the old timers to pass away, when they pass off the scene, that everybody just goes in random directions. Because even though there's somebody that you think is old, you know that that person was young one day too? And every time there's an old generation that passes off the scene, you know what the Lord would like? He'd like a new old generation. You know, there's got to be some old people coming up through the ranks. You know, one of these days, time permitting, these little children that's here will be old people. You know, I remember just today we were at lunch, we were, the boys and I were, and Anita and I were talking about some of the people that I knew very well. And I know the name, but I don't know that I really know them, they said. Well, it's because that older generation, they're gone. They pass it. But you know, there's another group of people that my boys think are old people. And I'm going to be there real soon. You know, and as the old people pass off, the new old people should be prepared because they choose to make the right decisions to step into that bracket. We need some new old people. We need some patriarchs, so to speak. We need another generation, just like we need another generation of young people that choose to serve the Lord. Because you've been empowered to choose. We want you to choose, but we need middle-aged people and those that's getting on the tail end of middle. We want them to choose to be solid old people. We need a new generation of old people. We need a new generation of middle-aged people. Some that's become settled and established and are like Joshua that says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua made a decision, didn't it? It was his will. It was his decision to do that. But he done that with the being very cognizant of his surroundings. And in the stipulations and the parameters that were all involved. He made that decision realizing what could impact it all. And I'm thankful that he did. I'm thankful for people like Joshua. I'm thankful for some of the older ones that have went on. You know, I've got this older sister that texts me most every Sunday morning. And she lives in quite a ways away. She texts me and lets me know that she's praying for me and wants me to be encouraged. And this morning, she sent me a text and said something about, I consider you like one of our children, my wife and I. And she's older. She's old enough to be my parent. And so I texted her back and I told her that I really appreciate, I said, thank you for your prayers. And I said, I want you to know, I consider you a mother in Israel. But she's not going to be here forever. There's going to be a need for some new mothers in Israel. You don't get to be a mother in Israel when you're in your 20s. You start there, but you start by making decisions to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you see what happens, the end result of being empowered is that the individuals that's empowered, they're going to make decisions that the rest of us have to live with. My children that's moved away from my home, they make decisions I got to live with. I don't have, you know, sometimes all of you that have children that's grown and married and moved away, sometimes you want to interfere. Sometimes you want to say, that's a bad choice. You know, I think you need an attitude adjustment or something like that. But we can't, we've empowered them, and now we have to accept, I guess, is we have to work with and deal with the decisions they make. So Lord, help us today. I can't say enough of how I appreciate the Lord empowering me to be able to choose. You know, that makes me feel good to be able to choose. And I think it makes God feel good, if I can say it that way, if you understand. I think it makes God feel good to see somebody choose the right. Can you imagine? There's a scripture, maybe someone can help me find it. It talks about no greater joy than to see children walk in truth. Is that right? Is it 1 John? Maybe we could find that and we'll end there. First John 3. Yes. Yes, that's the verse. 1 John 3:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what it's like to get the report from a third person? I can see that they're really endeavoring to live for God. You know what that means to a parent? It just makes you feel so rewarded. It makes you feel so there's contentment, there's joy, there's satisfaction. You know, and if I can feel that as a mere human, what does it feel like from the perspective of God that created humanity? And when He sees His creation choosing, like Moses did, to live for Him. Don't you know that's a great joy to Him? And it'll be I want Him to rejoice over every one of you here. I want every one of you to be encouraged to be like Joshua and choose not only this day, but every day to serve the Lord. I want you to realize you've been empowered. God has empowered you to make a choice. So make a good one. Don't make one that's going to cause God's tears to flow, but make one that makes Him rejoice and be glad that He give you that power. I want to make the decisions that will cause God to rejoice. You pray for me.